Comes Psalm 1, therefore the redeemed of the Lord of the Lord shall return and come a singing on the Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
Evening, as Mehmet said it, praise God. I just want, on behalf of myself and Brother John, to thank everyone for your financial support and then for your prayers as well. Continue to pray for us as we go. We'll be here next Sunday. We'll have a communion service next Sunday morning, and then a Brother Samuel will be preaching in the evening. And we had a great time Wednesday night. A Brother Gary really spoke well Wednesday night about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I really enjoyed it. And then really enjoyed the service this morning, and maybe we should have had a bit more time this morning for to pray for people. You know, sometimes as a pastor you want to get not hold people too long, but then you have to have the balance to know when God wants to move. Yeah. And I definitely don't want to hinder God from moving if people need prayer. I know sometimes people, I can sense, are keen to get going, but sometimes it's good to stay a bit longer and let God have his way. And you can't rush God. That's one thing I can tell you. You cannot rush God. God will do it the way he wants to do it. And it's like I said to you about James McConnell's testimony. When he started out to pastor them 10 people. He wasn't heard of for 13 years. Now, 13 years before anything came to happen. And he had invitations all over the world, but that's what God done. You know, but we just thank the Lord. You know, I was thinking as well, maybe I'll put it up in the church thing, that testimony that I was telling you about, because it's really blessed me. You know, they came to shoot him. And they came in to shoot him, and they're waiting on him. This man was waiting on him to shoot him. And he never did shoot him, and he came several times to shoot him. And eventually got saved. And when they found out why he didn't shoot him, is every time he went to shoot James McConnell, he'd seen two of them. When James McConnell came through the doors, there's another James McConnell was with him. And he didn't know which one of them was which. So he didn't shoot any of them. But that was the angel of the Lord that done that. Because God had work for him to do. And you can really say, you know, and without saying too much, if he had got involved with other things, God wouldn't have used him, I believe, in the way he did use him. So that's why he went the way he went. And I know when I ever went down there, I baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and everything. And there's no doubt God used that man to win souls for the Lord. And I tell you, one thing he said, if God can use him, he can use anybody, but the secret was prayer. Prayer was the secret. He came from the all night, the prayer meetings every night for 2 years. Every night for 2 years. But that wasn't it. He said when he came home from them prayer meetings, his wee wife made him a slice of toast and tea, and he went out and walked the roads praying again after he come from a prayer meeting. And I know for 10 years in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in England, they came to see Spurgeon's success, and he told them it was under the church, and they had prayer meetings 7 days a week running for 10 years in the basement. That was a success. The success wasn't a great preacher. There's lots of people you could say they're great preachers. That's not it. It's praying to a great God. That's what gives us success. Now, if God could go from 10 to 3,500, there's hope for us. There is hope, no matter what you think. And we need to look at this hall with a vision that it only holds 300, not the other way around. We don't need to look at it that it's too big. We need to look at it that it's too wee, that God can fill it. And the man said to James McConnell, what's faith? And he said, faith is believing. Living the life's faith. If you say you have faith and you're not living the life, you don't have faith at all. Faith's living the life, isn't it? Believing. Amen. Well, tonight I have a big title. John said this morning you have a big title, but not much to it. But, you know, I prayed and sought the Lord most of yesterday. And I was going to be preaching on the meat offerings from Leviticus, but then they took a notion today, just the hunger to get up and pray, and they went away upstairs again today, and the Lord's given me something different tonight, and I want to share this with you. I want to encourage you. The believer's position is expectation and is preparation. The believer's position is expectation and it's preparation. And we have a mighty position tonight, and we're going to start with that. Let's read Philippians 3, verse 20 to 21. The Lord bless each and every one. Praise God. Maybe we'll just stand while we read the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body like it may be fashioned, like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Then if we could go to chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 of Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. My thoughts will be coming from these scriptures tonight. Let me read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us bow our heads this evening and every head bowed. We're going to pray again for young Gary's sweet son, that the Lord will touch him, and any others tonight. Noah, is not right? Jonah. I keep mixing these boys up. My wife will have it half of me after the meeting now. But Jonah, praise God. Any others want prayer? You lift your hand tonight. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we know that we have an open access because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God. And we thank you for that open access tonight. And Father, we would come and say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for Jonah tonight. You'll touch him from the very crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you make him whole and well. In Jesus' precious name. Pray for my own wife, you'll touch her. Pray for my son William, you'll touch him. And for all my children, you'll move in every one of them. And save them and deliver them. And fill them with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for the hands raised in this room, meet every need. In Jesus' precious name. Bless those that's here. Bless those that couldn't be here. Have your way in this service. May we know the presence and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost tonight. I take the Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. I come against every work of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, you'll rebuke him. And you'll keep us as the apple of your eye. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless all that give to your work. And have your way with myself and Brother John. Lead us and guide us as we yield ourselves to your mighty hand, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The believer's position is expectation and is preparation. First of all, the position, we're citizen. We have a citizenship in heaven. We heard this morning about Paul and his brother. I really enjoyed it this morning, I'll tell you that. Paul's whole thing was earthly. His whole thing about him. But when he had an encounter with the Lord of glory, that changed it. His earthly expectations changed to the heavenly expectation. And we have a citizenship in heaven. Verse 20 tells us that. Chapter 3, verse 20, here's what it says. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a citizenship in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. We shouldn't be worrying about down here. Our only thing about down here is for to see souls saved. That's our thing about down here. We want to see men and women captured from the devil and the whole way to God. You know, the scripture says, translated from the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. That's what the power of the gospel can do. Praise God. You know, James McConnell said in that testimony, he said he, one Sunday when he looked over and he seen two barristers sitting, two UDA men sitting, and two IRA men sitting there as well, all in the same row. That's the power of God. That's like the testimony I heard for the policeman was blew up. He was blew up in a bomb. And the pastor said, don't miss the service tonight with a special guest. And he noticed a fella sitting up on the stage with a hook for a hand. And that fella with a hook for the hand was Top IRA man. And he was preaching that night. He's the man that bombed that policeman. And he got his hand blew off. And while he was in jail, a couple of young people challenged him on the Bible. So he went to the Bible study to disprove the Bible and disprove them. And he got converted. And at the end of the service, him and that big policeman hugged each other. That's what the gospel can do. Let me say this evening, there will be never restitution in Ulster or Ireland unless it is God that does it. That's the only thing that can bring it. And God can bring it. He's the real peace process. For the one we have's fake. That's what I think of it. It's nonsense. And I don't even want to get way tracked, sidetracked, or whatever way track you want to call it tonight. I want to keep with this here, praise God. They've been born from above and have their home in the city of God. Born from above. I tell you, Paul was born of the earthly, but when he met Jesus on the road from Damascus, he was born from above. Born again. Would you ever have thought he'd have been the messenger of the first church age? And our John, Brother John said this morning in the hanky, they took apron and handkerchief to the body of Paul and they laid them in the sick. And they recovered. And the Bible says special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. Special miracles. There was a lot of ordinary ones, but there's special ones wrought by the hands of Paul. That's the power of God. No continuing city, but they look for a city as maker and builder of God. Isn't this the words of Abraham? When Abraham was here on earth, Abraham looked and searched for a city, Hebrews 11, verse 10, which hath foundations as maker and builder as God. He was searching for a city. And there's a city prepared for us. And we're going to go till it, praise God. They know that in their father's house there's many mansions. I tell you, I'm not going to a wee room, brother. I'm going to a mansion. I know some translations have the wee room for themselves. I'm not interested in a wee room. I've had enough wee rooms. I'm going to the mansion. A mansion in glory. What the Lord's prepared. John 14, verse 1 to 2. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe also in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And there's an S on the end. There's more than one. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord himself has went to make a place for me because I have a citizenship in heaven. When you're saved, you're a citizenship of heaven. Praise God. Knowing that they're citizens of a better country. That's what we are. They love not the world nor the things of the world, but they're loyal to the Lord. Are you loyal to the Lord tonight? There's a lot of people talk about being loyal to the crown. And there's other people that are loyal to the Pope. But what about being loyal to the Lord? What about being loyal to him? People talk about God and Ulster, but many times God's not in that part of it. But I'll tell you, God's in his word. And when you take that word out, you haven't got God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1 verse 1. Praise God. I tell you, they don't love the world or the things of the world, but they're loyal to the Lord who rules in the heavenly Jerusalem. There's a heavenly Jerusalem and the Lord rules in it. And the Lord looks down from his throne and he rules tonight. Now you have an expectation. Have you an expectation tonight? Praise God. You're a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem. Now you have an expectation. The expectation of the believer is the great promises of God. Our expectations are as sure as God's word is. Did you get that? They're as sure as God's word are. Because when God gives you something, it's going to happen. And God's word's sure. He's not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. You know what our expectation is? This is a thing my dad said many, many times. He said the expectation of any right-thinking person is the coming of the Lord. I listened to the seventh seal the other day and I listened to it very carefully. And as I listened to the seventh seal, I realized nowhere in that was preached the doctrines. Nowhere would we hear today. Nowhere. But continually it was pointed out that no one knows when the Lord comes. And continually was pointed out, don't try to understand these mysterious things. But you live as close as you can to the Lord. Yes, to the coming of the Lord. That was what was emphasized. That's the things that was said. But they're not preached. But something that wasn't said is preached. And if you don't believe it, you're not even in. That's what's said today. No interest in it no more, but honest with you, it's nonsense. I'm only interested in the truth that's in this word. And Jesus Christ. No more. No point running after something that's not even there. You want to get fish, you need to go for there is fish. Amen. We need to be fishers of men, not aquarium keepers. We need to have a vision for the lost. Oh, I'm bride. I just preached to the bride. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, he died for the bride. And he says, it's not my will that any should perish. He had a vision for the lost. How could we say we're bride and have no vision for the lost? That would be evidence to me we're not bride. That's the evidence I'd take from that. Who believes you're part of the bride tonight? I believe it tonight. Praise God. Their expectations is Christ coming again. That's our expectation tonight. It's Christ coming again. They we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, they believe that he shall appear the second time without sin, under perfect salvation. He's not coming to go on a cross. He's coming as a Savior. He's coming to take his children home. He never bought a cross again. He never be crowned with thorns again. The bride that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The psalmist says, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. What a Savior. Praise God. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, that means he took our sin the first time he came. He took our sin. But I tell you, when he's coming for us, he's not coming to take our sin. He's coming to take us. He's coming to take us home. Praise God for that. They're obedient to the word and waiting to the coming of the Lord. Happy are they who hold this blessed hope. This is our expectation tonight. We have a hope, and the Bible calls it a blessed hope. Jesus Christ is coming again. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. So that ye come behind and no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And we believe that the gifts are here, and God wants us to have the gifts. And the word of God says that we wait for the coming of the Lord, and that we come behind and no gift. I tell you, a prophet of God said that we should have all the gifts. And don't worry about mysteries. He said that. But you live as close as you can to the Lord and look for the coming of the Lord. When will the Lord come? He said it might be 50 years or 100. I don't know when. It's never mentioned. He said it's never mentioned. Only God knows. Only the Father. Jesus said only the Father knoweth when he'll come. But he's coming. Amen? Now we know everything's sitting in order, but we still don't know when he's coming. But he's coming soon. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. And wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's our expectation, is the coming of the Lord. That's our expectation, praise God. You know what else we expect? We expect to be transfigured. Our expectation is the coming of the Lord. And then another part of that expectation is we expect to have a body change. That's what we expect. And you know why we expect it? Because the word of God declares it. That we're going to have a body change. We're not going to heaven like we are. He'll take us the way we are, but he'll change us. He'll take you the way you are. You'll not need to do anything, because he'll do it. His power will do it for you. Isn't that wonderful? Like a man getting saved. You don't get right then. Come, the Lord takes you the way you are. Takes you how you are, and he changes you. And he transforms you. Because you're born again. A new creature. The devil can tell you or not, but he's a liar. You believe God. Who shall change our mortal body? Verse 21 of our reading says at verse 21 of chapter 3. Here's what it said. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto its glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Able to subdue all things. God's able to do anything. And he's going to change it. The Lord Jesus showed his disciples a pattern of this new body. Did you know that when he was here on earth? when on the Mount of Transfiguration, in Luke 9, verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance altered, and his raiment was white, glistening. He was changed before them. And we shall be like him, the Bible says. We shall be like him. It was a picture of what's to come. And the Lord was changed. And you know, even Moses and Elijah appeared up there. How many knows that? And the disciples was going to build themselves three denominations. That's more or less what it's, three tabernacles, denominations. And the voice spoke out and said, no! This is my beloved son, hear ye him. God's not coming for a denomination, he's coming for people, his people. Hear the Lord. It's the Lord we need to hear. Thank God we can hear the Lord. The spirit of the bride says, come! Hallelujah. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Praise God. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 3, sorry, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. I tell you, the Lord's coming. He's coming for you. And I tell you, you're going to appear in glory. What do you think of that? It's not something. You'll appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. What about 1 John 3, verse 2? Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. We'll be like the Lord. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 55. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? We have an expectation. We have an expectation. We're going to be changed. You could say, brother, I'm not what I should be. I'll tell you what, you're not what you're going to think you're going to be either. Because you're getting changed. Like Brother Charlie says, I'm not behind in a hurry, you left. You're getting changed. You're going. You're leaving. No more putting too much emphasis down here because you're going. You're leaving. You're going to be taken. It's not wonderful. Enoch walked with the Lord and he was not, for the Lord took him. What a blessing that he pleased God. And you know, Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Enoch had faith. Now, what else here? There's preparation. There's preparation for all this. I believe we've made the preparation. How many believes it? It's preparation. The watchword of the early Christians seems to have been, the Lord is at hand. That's what they used to say. Philippians 4, verse 5. The Lord is at hand. That was the watchword of the early Christian and the early church. The Lord's at hand. All them early preachers, Spurgeon and all, they believed the Lord was coming, was so near. But the coming of the Lord is nearer today than it was then. We're closer today to the coming of the Lord than any of them men were. We're closer. The coming of the Lord's at hand. It's near. It's near. And I tell you, there's so many things that we put before the Lord. But the Lord should be first. The Lord should be before everything. We should be willing to make a few sacrifices for the Lord. Because he gave a big one for us. He gave himself. Hallelujah. In view of his appearing, they were exhorted to be careful for nothing. In verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be letting anything trouble you. Don't be letting anything disturb you in this life. No matter what comes your way, no matter what tries to break your heart or interfere with your peace, let nothing disturb you. Continue on with the Lord. Regardless to seemingly conflicting experiences in this life, signs and times, listen to these scriptures here. He who is coming again would have us to cast all our care upon him, because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He wants us to cast all our care on him, for he cares for us. We all get trials. I can tell you all about it. I can tell you about the trials. Many a time you want to quit the whole thing, run 1,000 miles. You wonder how you're going to do it, and then the Lord just does it. And I'm going to tell you as a testimony tonight. I told you here the other night, someone come over me and work, and I started praying, and I couldn't hardly do nothing. I was weeping and everything. This was about a situation for a man needed to change his mind about something he'd done, but he wouldn't change his mind. And the devil told me ever since that he says, there you are, God never heard you. But did you ever have one of them times of prayer and you know God's done it? And you get a peace. Well, I got the peace. Well, that fella wouldn't change his mind. He said it and all, and despite of me doing that prayer, he said, no, that's it. That's the way it's going. But here, 30 days later, he came back in and he changed his mind. He changed his mind about the whole thing. Now, I never prayed no more since that day. Because the first time I prayed, the peace came and I knew God heard. And I believe there's a time when you pray and you get a peace and an assurance, and God does it. Jacko got a call. And Jacko was in the army and he got a call, and the call was, Jack, you need to come quick, your sister's dying. And Jacko got into the taxi and he started praying. And the taxi man stopped the taxi and he said, hey boy, are you all right back there? And he said, oh, I'm all right, I'm just praying. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, I went to church for years and I never heard nobody praying like that. So he got on down the road and he'd seen a church and he says, you're going to have to stop here. And he stopped and he got into the Methodist church and he got praying again. And the Lord told him, he'd answered him. Twice he'd told him that. But he kept at it. Peace come over him. And then he got down and he got his mum and all the rest of it. And he'd seen the dream, and they'd seen the dream, and his sister was under a big orange thing. It was an oxygen thing. She was dead. And God said, I've healed her. And Jack Coe came out, and his mum says, go you now and ring your dad. They were broken up marriage, and his dad was away. Go and ring your dad, and his dad was a drinker. Go and ring your dad. And Jack Coe was heading over to the phone box to ring his dad, and the Lord said to him, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to ring my dad. And he said, I told you, I healed her. And he said, Lord, I plumb forgot all about it. Forgive me. That's what he said. I can see him saying it. I can picture Coe the night saying it. Boy, I like Jack Coe. Never met him, but I like, I'm talking about the original Jack Coe. I believe he was a character. A bit like Rock, I'd say. A real character. He wouldn't have changed him. He had just done whatever he wanted, and no minister would have made no difference to him. That's the way Jack Coe was. And he came back over, and his mom says, well, did you ring your dad? And he says, no, the Lord's healed her. And his mom fell down on the step, and she started to cry. And she said, Lord, help me, please. For my daughter's in there dying, and my son's lost his mind. Will you help me? And the next thing the doctor called him said, come in quick. She's wakened up. And they went in and said, tell her, what can we do for you? And she says, I want a big fry. No way to tell you, be careful about these fries. I know men ate them all their life. They lived a long time. But anyhow, she wanted a big fry. Fry up. The eggs and the bacon and the whole lot. Even the alpine. Praise God. I was praying over sanctified. Isn't that right for her? Glory. But I tell you, the doctor said, look, there's a dying request, we'll give her. There's no point worrying about it. She's going to die anyhow. Let her have it. And she ate a big fry and a big cup of tea, as we would say here in Ulster. And she fell asleep. And about an hour or so later, she wakened again. And she says, boy, I'm starving. Could I have another fry? And the doctor said, there's something going on here. We better test her. And he checked her out. And she was healed. Healed by the power of God. But God heard Jack Coe the first time he prayed. Hallelujah. And I tell you, sometimes if you've ever prayed through and you get the breakthrough and you feel the Lord's answered you, you don't need to pray again. You need to start rejoicing. Now the devil will try and convince you it hasn't been answered. And you might still have to wait a while before it actually happens, but God will do it. on your knee to start rejoicing. Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And I tell you, that situation, it looked like nothing happened at all, because the fellow wasn't changing his mind. And then all of a sudden he come in and he changed his mind. Several days later, he reversed everything. Now what'll end up, I don't know, but God answered the prayer anyhow. That's all I'm concerned about. And I'll tell you another thing, if he done the first part, he'll do the next part. That's the other thing about it. And I'm going to tell you a wee thing about tongues tonight. I'm going to say this when I'm in this service. There's an awful lot of people against them. But I'm going to tell you this. Brother Guy brought it out well and with the tree of knowledge and how the devil knows everything. But you see, when you get tongues, the devil's fluffed. Did you hear that? He does not know what you're saying. Because him that prayeth in a known tongue, the Bible says, his understanding's unfruitful, he prayeth unto God. Now that's a genuine gift of a tongue from God. That is a tongue to God, a supernatural thing that God gives you, and the devil doesn't even know what you're praying. And a prophet of God said, if God tells you something that's not to be told out, don't you mention it. Because if you don't mention it, the devil can't do nothing about it. But it's only you can even think it, he still doesn't know. But when you mention it, then he knows what to do about it. But if you don't mention it, can't do a thing about it. So there's some things you keep secret between you and God, and you just pray in secret. And I believe tongues is real. I can tell you so many testimonies about tongues. And there's one man you read, you go and read about him, and he operated tongues in one of the most powerful ways in any other ministry I've ever heard. That was John G. Lake. God used him mightily in tongues, and he would pray by himself in tongues. Then God would give him the interpretation, and many times he preached it. And the Bible says when tongues is interpreted, it's equal to prophecy. It's the same thing. Thank God for tongues, what I say. You know, I near got in trouble yesterday. I was in a certain shop. I was getting things for my shoes. And they were brethren men. I like the brethren, you know that, but they don't like the tongues. And I like the tongues. But you know, they were telling me all these different names, and I knew them all. They'd read this and that, you know. And one of them just happened to say that he went to a certain meeting and knew all know where it is. And he says he never was nowhere like it for the old spoken tongues. And he'd never go back. He said he wouldn't go back because of the tongues. And he said, why pray in tongues? Why talk in tongues when you could talk in English? Well, I'll tell you, they talked in tongues on the day of Pentecost, and there's a multitude saved. Amen. Now, some tongues aren't genuine, we know that. But the false doesn't put me off, because I've seen too much of the real. It's even the boss pays me on a Friday. Even though there's false £20 notes about, I don't worry about them. I'm expecting to get real ones. The one or two false ones never would put me off, because there's enough real ones about. And the tongues is the same for me. I'm not worried about some old story about false tongues, because I can tell you a whole lot about real ones. Amen. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Praise God. He who bore our sins is the Lord and carries our sorrows. Roll your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Psalms 55 verse 22. The Lord shall sustain you. Isn't that great? Many's the time David said that we'd have given up. But the Lord kept them. The Lord sustained them. Be prayerful in everything. This is our preparation. Though we know where we're going and though we have an expectation, we have a preparation built into it. And we're praying all the time. I tell you, isn't it great? A man in this own country, and you can read about the way that man, there's no denying it. There's nobody can do nothing about it. It happened. That's just as simple as that. It took place. Be prayerful in everything. In everything, by prayer, let your requests be known unto God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Nothing that troubles us is too trifling to bring to God. Nothing. You can bring anything to the Lord. Anything. I try and pray to the Lord about everything. I'd even talking to him on the day about changing my phone. Never hang a tell the Lord all about it. And you'd say, what would you tell the Lord about that for? Well, I'll tell you something. There's a wee woman needed a pair of shoelaces, and she told the Lord about that too. You know, there's a man that has a shoe shop in Portydown. He runs special prayer meetings. And he prays for me in them prayer meetings. His group does twice every day, the prayer meetings. They pray twice a day. It's a wee prayer meeting. And I tell you, there's people praying for you and everything. It's like a brother John said, there's times when things are not going good and then you know somebody prayed for you. Amen? I remember going before the surgeon in the Royal down in Belfast at about 9 years of age. And I was on a pair of crutches and he said, he's still on them things. And I said, no, I'm not really. But I didn't want you to think it was awesome. And I carried them over to him and I handed to him. And he got everybody into that place to look at my leg because he said I'd always walk my limp. Now the devil's telling me a few times the limp's coming, but I've told him he's sticking it back again. I don't want it. I don't need it. That's what I think of his limp. And a sore foot and lung what he could take it to. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, but I knew somebody was praying for me with a leg. And I tell you something, with all the condition I had and went on and won so many things at running. I was never ever beaten in the mile, never. Never in my life. Even my father's older than me. They're still, you know, I actually beat the school teacher one day. The previous, that's 14. He took me out one night and cheered me. And I'll tell you how he cheered me. We went round on the road. This might be not important, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. We're running the race, aren't we? Pat Quinn, you call him, big fella, about 6'2". I was about, I wasn't even as big as Isaac, I don't think. I was a wee fella at school, wee skinny critter. I know you wouldn't think it, brother, but that's true. But he says to me, we'll race, and he says, don't go too hard to near the end. Because you see, I didn't have the sprint finish. You know, many knows what the sprint finish is. You know, the last 100 metres, you go mad at it. I never worked like that. I set the pace from the start. And if you were still with me after half a mile, I went harder.
Till you dropped off. That's the way I run. But he convinced me to go easy with a half mile. It was actually 3.5 mile we run that night. From the Moor up round Bowles Lane and all. And I got back then at the last wee bit, he shot off and he beat me. But I says, the next night I'll cure him. So the next night we went out again and I says, Pat, you cheated the last night. But the night we're not cheating. This is the proper race. Everybody heard. And I says, Pat, cheerio. See you back at the school. And on I went and I seen him back at the school for I never seen him after that when I wagged at him. On I went and I beat him. He come to see my dad, my mom can tell you. He come to see my dad and everything to get me to run professional. That's the truth. I loved running. I loved running. I never thought of running for the Lord. But the doctor told me he'd never walk right. He'd never be fit to walk right. But there's another doctor and somebody was praying. He had different ideas. Maybe you've had bad news. Maybe somebody's telling you there's something you can't do. But I can tell you tonight, if you'll believe the Lord, you'll be fit to do it, no matter what it looks like. Even if it's impossible, you'll still be fit to do it. God, prayer changes everything. Be thankful for everything. Verse 5, verse 6 of Philippians 4, and I'm closing. And everything with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto the Lord. For all things work together for good to them that love God. This is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. This is God's will. That you should in everything give thanks. That's the Lord's will. In everything give thanks. There's times when we're down in the dump and don't freely give him thanks. Well, then that's what's called a sacrifice of praise. That's when God wants you to knuckle down and do it anyhow. That's like the fellow's training and he says, I don't want to get up this morning and go. But he makes himself do it because he knows he needs the preparation to take the title. And we're running in a race tonight. And we're making preparation, praise God. For the Lord's coming for us, praise God, he's coming for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything, give thanks, this is the will of Jesus Christ concerning you. Praise God, I'm closing. I'm coming to close tonight. And we'll come to the end. If anyone wants prayer, you come up to the front if you want. Spice of prayer for anything, I want you to come up. I know there's not many of us, but you come up if you want prayer for anything. I know our brother John and myself will pray for you. Praise God. You believe the Lord tonight. Let's bow our heads this evening. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was in Switzerland and I hadn't a penny. And the Lord said to me, Tommy, you're going to America. And I said to the group of missionaries, I'm going to America with you. And they said, we don't know how you're going, for we have no money for a ticket, and there's no tickets left. There's no flights even left. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. The voice that spoke to me in High Bank Jail said, I'm going. And if that voice is wrong, then everything's wrong. And there's a wee man smoked a pipe. And they called him Dieter Frey. And he come into the room and he says, Brother Tom, I bought you a ticket to America. And I said, glory, thank you, Jesus. And boy, you want to see their mouths if everybody else fell open. How could God speak to a man that smoked a pipe to buy me a ticket? Well, how could God feed Elijah with them ravens? Dirty old birds like that. But didn't he do it? God's ways are not our ways. And I tell you, I boarded the plane and I went. I'll tell you about that or not, it was the same flight they were on. There was no flights left, no seats left on it, but there was one for me. And I boarded it and got on and hadn't a penny. I tell you, God's able to do anything. Amen? He can take you around the world on a penny. If he wants to do it. For he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your love, your truth that you've showed toward every single one of us in this room. Lord, there's not one of us could lift our heads up and boast of our own works. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you lifted us from the dunghill. And you've set our feet in the King's highway. You've changed us, Lord. You've put a new song within us, song of praise unto you, Lord. Accept our praise tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Sanctify everyone in this room. Bless them. Meet every need, I pray. Touch people in this room. Bless the finances. Press them down that they run out over the top with blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Give strength to the navel, marrow to the bones. Heal bodies tonight in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, prosper those in their work that maybe need a new job or more money. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Save our children. We claim every one of them, every son and every daughter. Lord, many of them's not going the path we want. Only you can change it. We know you can. We commit them to you tonight. We pray you'll turn them around, Lord. We pray you'll speak to them. We pray you'll convict them. We pray you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. Praise God. We'll be back Wednesday night on Sunday. And the Lord bless each one of you tonight. Anyone wants prayer while the brother's going to sing a couple of choruses or songs, whatever the Lord leads, just come ahead up and we'll pray for you. God bless you.
We will sing 142 in the red book. One day when heaven was filled with his praises. We stand our feet this evening again then. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example. See. Born of a virgin. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living in love.